So before I get into the message, something I realized this morning is that I know what the Thanksgiving offering is, but we haven't communicated it yet. So I had Adam put it on a screen. Our average weekly offering is $14,000 a week, and we brought in $27,000, $210 for our Thanksgiving offering. So that's awesome. So thank you for those of you who gave to that. That means that approximately $13,600 will go to Many Hands for Haiti in their first 100 days programs for new moms and kids. And the other $13,600 will go to Uganda to buy a church property for one of their churches that is renting land now, so that they can have the stability of that and not have to pay the rent. And the rest of it will go to the school that they run in Uganda. So grateful for your generosity. We're in a sermon series that is called The Lord's Servant. And it's primarily based on Mary. Mary is going to be the common character that we follow through it all, but also we'll watch Mary's interactions with other characters. And so what I want to do first is just review a little bit about what we talked about last week. We said that being the Lord's servant starts with God's grace. It starts with God's grace. Mary had a message come to her, uninitiated by her. Rejoice, full of grace. Grace upon grace coming to you. Grace flowing into your life. The Lord is with you. So being the Lord's servant starts by recognizing who he is and what he's done for us. But then being the Lord's servant also includes our response to him, to what he's asking of us. And she says, may your word to me be fulfilled. So she believed his promise, as was just read, and what God said he was going to do in her life. But she was also willing to just do whatever that meant for her. So that's where we start. I want to look back at one key verse. Well, actually, we'll get to two of the key verses from last week, because I think it helps inform where we're going this week. Last week and this week, there's a lot of themes that are connected, and I just want to lift those up today. So, Luke chapter 1, verse 28, the angel went to Mary and said, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. And we looked at, there are these two words that have Greek roots, love, well, they're Greek words, but they're based out of words. One is kara, which is where we get the word greetings. But the kara, the word that it's built upon, kara, is joy. And so another way of saying it is rejoice. Greetings, rejoice. There's good news. And so that is one of the key words found in the angel's message to Mary. The other is highly favored, which is grace as a verb. Grace upon grace, graced with grace. And so full of grace, being favored, being blessed, these are the ideas in the angel's message. And I highlight that because these are words, ideas that are found repeatedly in that little paragraph that Camille just read. So let's go to that right now. Let's go to some of those verses. Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 41 says, at that time Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. This word greetings, greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. A little bit later, as Elizabeth's filled with the Holy Spirit, one of the things that she says in verse 44 is, as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And so one of the things I want to talk about, when I keep seeing this word greeting, 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 and last week it started with greetings, rejoice, what is it that God might be saying about greeting? What is it might be saying about a God-filled greeting? This is a God-filled greeting in the sense that Mary has God within her. The Son of God is within her. And that's the biggest point of this passage, is that one woman who becomes pregnant in supernatural means because she's well beyond age and still becomes pregnant, and another who becomes pregnant even though she's never been with a man, these two come together and the babies within their womb recognize each other. There is a leaping for joy. The older is going to end up not being as great as the other. The older leaps, and Elizabeth prophesies about it because the older one recognizes this is the Son of God. This is the one. This is the Savior of the world. And that's the biggest deal in this. And that's part of the overarching story leading up to Christmas Eve. At the same time, I think there's something we can reflect on and learn about if we think about a God-filled greeting. What if we come carrying God's Spirit within us and our greeting does something that would bring joy to others? It seems like a small thing, but it gets repeated here. There is something in the greeting, God's activity in the greeting. And I just wonder, as servants of the Lord, what happens when we're intentional about our greetings? One of the reasons that I think we're not great about our greetings is because we can be very self-conscious. We can be worried about what the other person thinks of us, worried about how we'll be taken. We're just not sure about interacting with people. I would compare my freshman year as my first 2 months of greeting people compared to my last couple months of greeting people. I mean, if people that I didn't know greeted me, hey, I'm happy to greet, ready to greet. But I wasn't the starter. By the time I was been in campus for a while, and I mean, this is partly a little bit of my obnoxious personality. I'm less obnoxious now, a lot less obnoxious. But you know, I just greet everybody. Hey, how you doing? If I knew their name, they'd say their name. And there was one guy, a wrestler, man, he wouldn't even look at me. He would. Sometimes he'd look at me, which was worse. Hey! But he would not say anything back to me, no. But it's funny how what I noticed from that is that how many times I'm walking towards somebody, eye contact, no smile, nothing, and if I don't say anything, we walk by, nothing. If I say, hey, how you doing? Hey, the smile came. The hey, how you doing? Like there was an interaction that happened when I initiated in a positive way, and that has been true continually. And that's true in our church, too. One of the number one things I've heard over my 13, 14 years here of why people appreciate Celebrate, who start coming here, is how welcoming they feel. They feel welcome. They're greeted in different ways. They're seen. It smiles. There's an atmosphere to good, positive greetings that's contagious. I will also say that one of the number one reasons I hear for people who say they're not going to stay at Celebrate is because other than being greeted at the door when we tell people to greet, no one ever came and talked to them. So I don't know how to answer that because some people, there are people, well, so-and-so came and talked to me. And that I can still remember that 2 years ago. And that's when I felt like this was home. So our greetings create an atmosphere. And our greetings are good here, but it's not just about here. Our greetings are good wherever we go. And I mean, you go to a gas station, you go to a grocery store, you go, if you bring a greeting, a hi, a what's your name, a how are you doing today, a I like the shirt you have on, anything like that, and it lifts people. There's joy that comes. And most of the time, we're just moving fast. So whether it's strangers or other people, our greetings set the tone. And I'm thinking about this in terms of two things. One is, God, help us to greet well. God, help me to be intentional about it. God, help me to see somebody today. And me actually trying to do it. I've got a couple mentors in greeting right now that they've been inspiring me for the last couple years. Their names are Archie and Mabel. They're my dogs. When I get home, my dogs are always happy to see me. Every single time. Almost could be an annoying thing. Like, you know, I guys, I just left for 20 minutes. Like, it's not like this. We have to start this all over again with all the excitement. And boy, if I've been there for like a whole day, or if the boys come home from, you know, out of state, oh my goodness, they're so happy, so happy, so happy, so happy. So happy. Now, it'd be nice if Camille greeted me like that every time. There's a pregnant pause because, like, am I going to say me, her, or her, me? I'll go with that. But here's the reality. We're carrying a lot more mental and emotional freight than our dogs, right? Our dogs aren't thinking like, man, I got 100 things to do, and I'm already running behind, and this person was mad at me, and I blew it with this person over here. They're not carrying all of that. But here's the truth. I am carrying those kinds of things, and when I come in the door and the dogs come up and they're happy to see me and they're so happy to see me, even when I'm carrying all that thing, I shift. Hey, guys, if I'm in a down place, oh, that makes me feel a little bit better. And if I'm in a good place, I'm happy to see. So what would happen if we did greet each other more often, just with a, not maybe an overzealousness, but a, like a genuine, I'm glad to see you. Just a regular, genuine, I'm glad to see you. And honestly, in our home, there is a lot of that. There is a lot of, like, hey, how you doing? I mean, and morning isn't always the best time for certain people in our family, right? But in general, there's a lot of greetings that are good. And it makes a difference in what a home is like, in what a workplace is like, if we give a greeting. One other quick thing on greetings is how we answer our phones. So several years ago, a leader was in a meeting with me, and they got a phone call, and they just, what do you want? That's how they answer the phone. What do you want? Yeesh. And I knew who it was. Based on what he said, I'm with Andrew right now. Okay, got to go. And I said, I don't know if that's the best way to say hello. Well, it's my wife. Right. So, this same person, my wife called me one time, and I didn't know this until the person told me several. I don't know, a time later. But she called me, and I just talked to her. And he told me a few months later, he said, I listened to the way you talk to your wife. I need to change the way I talk to my wife. Well, just so happens that I had observed somebody talking. This is pre-cell phone day. This is like, got a message, we're in a meeting, but we're in between. We're in a break in the meeting, got a message, it's just me and this person now waiting. It was actually, we're interviewing people for a job, and we're in between interviews, and the person got a message to call, so they called their wife, and their wife was in a car accident. And this is what I heard. Huh? Oh, you were? Oh. Are you okay? Are you okay? Are you sure you're okay? Yeah. Well, who cares? It's just a car. It's just a car. Are you okay? Don't, it's okay. It's okay. As long as you're okay, that's all that matters. And I thought, I don't think that's how I would talk. And he got off the phone, and he's like, I mean, you could tell it's stressful. It's a real deal. But it was also, there was no sarcastic remark, no put-down remark. He just cared about her. And that interaction, whatever it was 15, 20 years ago, has never left me. And it's why I talk differently on the phone, not all the time. I have said, I'm busy. Well, then why did you answer the phone? Right. You know, I can't talk right now, right? Hey, I can't talk right now. Well, don't answer the phone if you can't talk. Anyway, so I'm not perfectly, but better. And it's something that we could say, God, help us to do that, and then create the habits of how we interact with people, how we answer the phone, how we walk in the door in different places just makes a difference, and it does whether we don't know the people or whether they're the people we're closest to in life. Our greetings will make a difference. So, the second idea. Remember, I talked about there's this kara, which is joy, which is rejoice. It's the greetings. It's the, and then there's charis, which is the grace, which is the highly favored, which is the blessed. So, looking at where those words come up, Mary or Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit, and then it says, in a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill her promises to her." Now, there is something that I want to particularly point out about this blessing and these words and what they would mean. I talked about two key verses from last week, and we read the one about the angel's message, greeting to Mary. But then there's the Mary's response. So the angel carried this message of grace. And then Mary's response, verse 1, verse 38, "I am the Lord's servant." Mary answered, "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Now, I have said and thought some version, there's different translations of this passage, but "I am the Lord's servant, may it be to me according to your word. I am the Lord's servant, may your word to me be fulfilled. I am the Lord's servant, whatever you want, God." So I've had that over and over and over again. I always leave out the last sentence. Then the angel left her. Which is fine for what I'm trying to keep in front of me is that I want to be like that. I want to be the Lord's servant, you know, whatever you want. That's the main point. But there's something important about the reality that Mary had this supernatural encounter with an angel, a message from heaven from an angel, and she responded well to it, and then she was alone. The angel left her, and who's going to understand what's going on? Who's going to encourage her in this compared to who's going to put her down in this, or ostracize her in this, or she's just alone to deal with this. Heavy, heavy news. But in the angel's message, he mentioned that Elizabeth was pregnant. This is her relative Elizabeth is pregnant. Oh. And so she goes to Elizabeth, but what is she going to hear from Elizabeth? And before she can even say, like, "This is what's going on," she gives her a greeting, and Elizabeth knows from the Holy Spirit what's going on. And I want to go back to just look at something about Elizabeth, chapter 1, verse 24 and 25. After the angel had come to Zechariah, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." Elizabeth was one who struggled with an infertility, which is always painful. Always painful, but in that society was layered with pain. Because it was seen as, you must have done something wrong, God must not like, there was something, there was just, that was seen in that. And so she felt disgraced for years, even though the Bible describes her as, her and her husband as righteous people who sought the Lord, who sought to follow the Lord, who prayed about it. And just nothing and disgrace. And someone who has experienced disgrace and being hidden and being put down. Now she comes to one who's about to probably walk in disgrace among the people who will not believe or understand around her. But she's able to see what God is doing in her. I tried to, here's a sentence we can put up on the screen. "One who was disgraced is able to recognize grace in another thought to be disgraced and to bless her." One is able to affirm, here's how I see God in you. here's a, now, clearly, this is unique. God is literally in her. But again, there's something that we can learn from this. I can actually see what God's doing in a person where other people don't see it, where other people overlook it, where other people are only focused on what's wrong in the circumstance, what the person's done wrong. And you can see what other people can't see because the Holy Spirit helps you to see. Now, what if, along with God-filled greetings, we had Spirit-inspired blessings, especially to people who feel overlooked, who feel unworthy, who feel like they've blown it? What if we bring grace to that? What if we bring grace to those people? And to be honest, from what I can observe, that's most of us. Most of us feel alone, misunderstood, lonely. Most of us are feeling that. And maybe in the midst of a worship service, we can have a song go and we can sense God's presence, and for a little while it can feel okay, but then we walk out of here and then is it real? Because man, life sure feels hard when I leave this place. But what if a person says it? We could hear it or feel it from heaven, that's one thing, but what if another person kind of affirms and confirms God's love for us, that God has favor for us, that God is with us? What if we hear it from another person? Wow, does that build it up more? Wow, does that bring it to a whole new level? I was in a conversation a month or two ago with someone who the full story is that they went 20, 25 years ago. They were at a extended family reunion thing. And someone that they had known as a kid was there, and this person was an alcoholic. And so the marriage had ended, and this person's still there at this family reunion or anniversary celebration because of their kids being there. But really, most people didn't want them there. And so this person went out and talked to them. And talked to them for a long time. And when someone is feeling low about themselves, there's a lot of negative coming out. There's a lot of, you know, they knew people didn't want them there. So they had negative feelings back. And it was a hard conversation, but the person stayed in it. Just stayed there with them. When no one else would. Now, there were good reasons for some of them not wanting. There had to be boundaries because after a while with alcoholism, there was things. There was, the person understood why, but still felt like they were in a position that they could just be with the person. And they prayed for the person. Didn't hear much. They don't have the kind of relationship where they're going to call each other or anything like that. That was it. But then, a couple months ago, they saw that person's daughter, an adult now, wasn't an adult at the time, and they asked, like, how's your dad doing? Oh, he's been sober for 20 years. He's doing great. I see him all the time. And this person has no idea if their time with them had zero impact, had a huge impact, it was just the thing they needed to keep them going. They don't know. But what they know is like their intent was to be a person that would keep them going, to help them move forward. Their prayers were answered, whether this person ever realized it or not. And that's the kind of thing that can happen. One of my people that's been most influential in my life, I read a book, but what was really influential is you could, back in the day, there were these cassette tapes. I had cassette tapes of a course two different courses that they led ministry leaders through. And I listened to them over and over and over again. And part of what I learned about this person is that when they were 14 years old, their dad committed suicide and left their mom with four kids. He was the oldest. And their mom was already abusive verbally before the dad committed suicide. and then became physically abusive until this guy got older. They're older and stronger and bigger than her, and then just said, you're not going to do this to me anymore, and then went off and lived like hell. Just was a hellion by his own description. And a friend had got him to, who was a believer, just kind of nonchalantly shared that, you know, if you accept Jesus in your life, then God will never leave you. And that idea to one whose dad left him, that there was someone who would never leave him, just clicked for him. And so he became a believer. He didn't actually love this friend. He just happened to be at this friend's house, but it wasn't like a super good friend, but he got into a young life group, and the leader of the young life group saw this guy who was without a dad, and he just took him in. He'd just take him out to eat. He gave him a Bible. He taught him to read C.S. Lewis. Oh my goodness, in high school reading C.S. Lewis, that's no joke. But he's like, I don't even understand some of these things. But if he does it, then I do it. Because someone saw him and encouraged him. It was spirit-filled grace. We can't do these kind of things with everyone all the time. But we can do some things as God directs us. And it can be simple. It can be people we don't know that we're with for a moment. And it can be the kind of thing like Elizabeth and Mary, I am for a season, I am going to live life with you. And they both make a difference. So, going back to the theme of the series, what we know, what we started with, is Mary is the Lord's servant. She's the Lord's servant. She says, I'm the Lord's servant. May it be to me according to your word. I believe you. I believe that you have grace for me, and I want to follow you. I will do whatever you say. But what we see in today's story is that Elizabeth is the Lord's servant. Elizabeth said, the Lord's taken away my disgrace. She went into seclusion to spend time with the Lord. And then she says, how am I so favored that the mother of my Lord, she has a Lord, she sees herself as the Lord's servant. And she's able to bless, so she feels blessed. And when we feel blessed, we're more likely to bless back. And when we bless people, when we give grace to people, we're more likely, not always, but more likely to get it back. And that's what we learn from this Lord's servant. So the question is, am I the Lord's servant? Is that who we are? Is that how we identify ourselves to be? If we are the Lord's servant, let me just give a few things that we could say, this is what it would mean to live that out. One is to start with just receiving God's grace for us. That message, rejoice. What was this, that message? Boy, I was really winding up for a flop there. Rejoice, full of grace. You're drenched with grace. God's grace is coming to you. The Lord is with you. That message was unique to Mary, and yet, as I talked about last week in Ephesians chapter 1, for all who are in Christ Jesus, really, that we know that same thing's true for us. The same thing's true for us. We can rejoice at God's grace. He wants to grace us with grace, more grace, and he is with us. So we start there. We can't give what we haven't gotten. We start with his grace. And second, we spend time with God and spend time with others that would encourage us in the faith, or as a servant, we encourage. So Elizabeth was in seclusion for 5 months thinking about what the Lord had done for her. She was in seclusion. She could have went, you know, why? I mean, that's what I would think I would do, is like, all you people that were looking down at me, look at me. But no, she's just like, thank you, thank you. She is She is in his grace, in time alone. And so I want to be able to greet people well. But I need a little bit of, if I'm going to do that, I need some time where I am sitting in his grace, where I'm not going 100 miles an hour, where it can be just a few moments in a day. Sometimes it's extended time, but I know the difference of when I have spent time with the Lord, receiving his grace, in his word, praying for people, asking for his leadership, and when I haven't. And when I say, Lord, would you help me bless people? Would you help me see people? Would you bring to mind the people I should be praying for? Would you bring to mind who I should send a text to? Would you, when I do that, something different. There's something more on it than not. Because I can muster up the Christmas spirit just like everybody else and try to be a little nicer right now. But that's different than bringing God-filled gratings, than having spirit-inspired promptings. I don't always know they're coming from God. That's even for the better. But I'm asking for them to always come from God. And then he'll do it. And so that would be the last thing. To give God-filled greetings. Let's think about how we're greeting. Whether it's people we don't know, and we just ask a couple extra questions to them, whether it's people we're with all the time or anywhere in between, God, would you inspire greetings? Would you inspire blessings? Would you show us who we should walk with for a season? Because we need someone to encourage us. Or we know we want to be someone who encourages others. Just asking him to guide us. So I'm going to have the worship team come up for the last song. And this last song will allow some time for us to do just that, to receive God's grace. The words of this song are words sung over us, that we can receive it. We can receive his favor. We can receive his blessing. And at the same time, we can be saying, like, we want to be givers of that blessing. Who do you want me to pray for? Who do you want me to contact this week? What do you want me to do? You know, one other thing I would say is Jean McKay taught me this. Jean McKay, I so agree with this. She says, you know, I don't get super excited about the gifts where it's like, yes, of course, every year I give you things and you give me things. And it's almost like becomes an obligation of just like, give me your list. And I mean, it's might as well just exchange the cash. And have compared to a gift that comes at a unique time. Or someone you don't give a Christmas gift to every year, but one year you get an idea and you give a gift for them. Maybe that's one of the ways that spirit-inspired blessing, a note, a gift, a prayer, something where people will be seen. Let's pray. God, you actually do see everyone. You do know where people need to be encouraged, where kindness needs to be offered. You do know where we need to ask people to be part of our life for a season. We can easily become overwhelmed. We easily want to hide. But we pray that you would fill us with your spirit and your grace in a way that even our greetings would change environments and the atmosphere of the places we're in. Where people would be seen and welcomed and know they're loved, where hugs would be given in the midst of grief, where the right words said in the right way would come out of our mouth or come through a screen. We acknowledge our limitations. There's only so much we can do, but we pray that you would help us to do things that matter most. That out of our connection with you, we would receive your grace and receive your blessing, and we'd also pass on your grace and pass on your blessing. That even in just this room here, in thousands of ways, in the next few weeks, people would be graced with your grace, and we'd be part of it. People would be graced with your grace, and you'd use us. We're your servants. May you do through us what you want to do for people in this season. In Jesus' name, amen.